Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sometimes old big tall good looking one, sometimes little squatty one, you know, sometimes, you know, just all different looks, man. All different builds, man.
I used to love a good drop.
Yeah.
That's what we call the squatty ones.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever.
Call them drops.
I don't know about all that. See, you get it.
I'll explain it to you real quick. Well, you know, Hulk Hogan's finishing move was a leg drop.
Okay.
You know, if your lady you got right now hit you with a leg drop, you'd be able to kick out. But if Lizzo hit you with a leg drop, she getting you down for that 1-2-3.
Yeah?
I like a little leg drop.
You like a little Lizzo? The Lizzo leg drop.
A little Stern and Show, and that's right. I'm Ron the Show Hughley, filling in today, the next couple of days. And that's right, damn it. I like a little leg drop. I like a little drop action.
It didn't sound like there was anything little about that.
You're right. It ain't. But I like a good drop that feels good about herself. One that can dress herself up in some nice heels. Before I was married, honey. Not now. Yeah. Love you.
Tighten up.
That's right. You're right. Where were we? Anyway, I was listening to Jason Whitlock, which is something I shouldn't do. Because a lot of people try to compare me to him, just because I'm black and large. But I was listening to their show
I can see where that happened.
Yeah, you know,
y'all favor each other a bit.
We do not favor each other.
I mean, just
don't you put that on me. I am much more attractive than Jason Whitlock.
Okay, you are. You're a better looking man than Whitlock.
All right, come on now, you're man. Right. Good Lord, man.
Yeah. I can see where that would. I mean, I could see where that somebody would say that. Yeah, I mean, I could see that.
Were you trying to make me feel better when you said, you're right, you're better looking? Then you came right back and said, I could see why someone would say that.
I mean, I was just trying to make a drive-by. There it is. I wasn't trying to really necessarily, you know, I mean, get all deep into your feelings and stuff, man. Damn, I could just see where you random old Joe watching that show, may know show. A lot of shows going on here today. But right. Where somebody watching Whitlock's show could know show and go, hey, my boys kind of favor each other.
Yeah, we've had some conversations about it. He said, don't let those people bring you down. And I won't. I think he even admitted that I was much better looking than he was. But anyway, I was listening to his show, Speak for Yourself, and he had TJ Houshmandzadeh on there. And he was talking about, they were talking about potentially Lamar and Patrick Mahomes being the next Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And he was discussing this, and the first thing that came to my mind was, I feel like if I'm the Texans and Deshaun Watson, I would feel disrespected because we should be in this conversation.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I just do. Like, here, I'll let you hear the audio. Here, this is what TJ said.
You have Andy Reid with Mahomes, right. And you have Harbaugh with Lamar Jackson. They got stable coaches, good ownership. One just won the Super Bowl MVP, and the other one won the regular season MVP in Lamar Jackson. And so it looks like they're on this collision course every year. And if it's the longevity of it, though. Peyton and Brady, they were great for so long. Yeah. It's hard.
That is the hardest part.
You can't hit quarterbacks these days. There's no reason that they can't stick around a long time.
I just feel like Deshaun I damn sure believe Deshaun should be in that conversation. I personally would take Deshaun over Lamar Jackson, and I wouldn't blink. I think Lamar is really beholden to his system, and I think Deshaun can play more and be more dominant in any system. So I would take him over there. I damn sure think he should be. And I think the Texans are, at least to me, the clear third team in the AFC, if not right there to me, closer to the Ravens than people give credit for, because, of course, we don't know what's happening with the Patriots. But I feel like they should feel disrespected.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know where I sit on this, man. I mean, I agree with your point of I would take Deshaun over Lamar Jackson.
Okay, you would. All right,
yeah. I mean, the ceiling is much higher. I mean, there's a lot of unknowns with Lamar Jackson. If I were there now in the system, everything was rocking and rolling, I'd be 100% comfortable with him. But if I were selecting somebody and trying to build around that guy, I believe that Deshaun is a guy that you can build around and do more things with, no doubt. There's no question about it. It's not even close when you start talking about driving the football down the field and being a polished passer of the football. It's not even close. But, should the Texans feel disrespected that they're not in it? Ah, man. No, I don't think so, Sho. I would be pissed off that I wasn't in it. But I would also be aware of the reasons why. I would also be aware of, and this is the one thing that I believe that former players have a, obviously there's a lot more in the media nowadays than there used to be, and that's the end thing. But I do think that former players, when they see what happened to Houston in Baltimore and then what happened to Houston in Kansas City, In the second round of the playoffs.
Not the one they won.
No, not the one they won. In the second round of the playoffs. I think players look at that and immediately dismiss the Texans. I do. I immediately dismiss the Texans from the conversations of MVPs, Super Bowls, contenders. I immediately dismiss. When that's possible, forget the fact that it was possible versus Denver. When that's possible, B-Mac, you'll know that. I mean, when you look at the Texans' schedule last year, it's safe to say that the Patriots, the Titans, Baltimore, and Kansas City, at the end of the year, looking back in hindsight, those were the four best teams on the schedule.
From my memory, yeah, I would say that.
The Saints, right? The Saints
were, yeah, Saints were up there. One, yeah.
Okay.
They should have won that game.
Yeah, they damn sure had a chance. You should have been proud of your team after that. You go and you beat New England in a situation where I felt like you should have beat New England. They were really handcuffed talent wise. Tennessee is a game where, you know, I know they made the run to the AFC Championship. I think that is a team that just got hot at the right time.
Yeah, and they beat them in the game that mattered.
Right, and I'm not looking for a reason. I'm not trying to discredit the Texans. I'm just trying to evaluate the entire situation. I don't put a ton of stock into the fact that the Texans beat the Titans in, what was that, week 14 or 15, late in the season. I just don't put a ton of stock into that victory. I put quite a bit into New England, even though they were shorthanded. But then when you back that up with embarrassing, completely,
the Ravens whooped their ass.
Oh, from start to finish now.
They did go to Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs in the regular season. They did do that.
Yeah, that's great. That was good. When I look at the way that they played versus Baltimore and they played versus Kansas City late in the season, I just think that players, we just heard the TJ Houshmandzadeh audio. I think players that are in the media are real quick to just go, nah, man, this is fool's gold. Them cats, because them cats never had a chance. And then you look at the KC game and you go, they never had a chance, and you spotted them 24, boss. You know what I mean? Like, they never had a chance. And so I know media, we'll try to spin this thing, but I think former players, we look at it and we go, nah, man, that's piss poor. That's pissy po.
All right, well, as a media person, I'll spin it this way. I'm not going to say that the points that you're making aren't aren't valid. Okay. Now, you do keep pushing over them going on the road to Kansas City and winning. When Tyreek Hill went off in the game for two touchdowns and Kelsey was there, they go and win that game on the road. That was a tough game. I was at it. But this is my spin. Like, I think the Baltimore thing is off for 1 year, right? And Baltimore had a hell of a year last year. They also got to play in a division where Pittsburgh was running out guys. I mean, and this is, I'm just dead serious, Clint. I think you would have started over all of them. In your time playing, you are better than Duck Hodges, whoever the hell his name is, Landry Jones, whatever the crap that the Steelers were running out there. They got to play them twice a year, and in a year they lost Ben. They never had to play Roethlisberger. They had fallen apart. They got to play the Bengals, who had the number one pick, and we've talked about the dysfunctional Browns. That was their division. The Titans had the other participant other than the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, and the Titans in their division, and the Colts were in it most of the year. I look at Lamar, especially going into next year. I don't think he's going to put together an MVP-type season. He was historic last year. Hell, Patrick Mahomes didn't put together off of the MVP season. His numbers were different. There were some injuries, but his numbers were trending different anyway before he got injured. I look at those two teams, and I know I'm not going to say that the Texans are over the over the Ravens, but I think it's a lot closer than people see it, especially to me, because the quarterback position. I know Lamar just won the MVP, but I think Deshaun Watson is that much better than Lamar more consistently. And I just think they're much closer to the Ravens.
I think that – I don't know if they're closer to the Ravens. I really – I'm not ready to say that after the way they got trounced.
They're not with the Chiefs. I'm not putting them there. Yeah, but I think they're closer to the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, I can get down with your Deshaun. I think Deshaun's shelf life in the NFL is higher. I think Deshaun's ability to play at a high level through some different systems and still win football games – maybe not at a championship caliber level, but to get you a division title, get you in the playoffs and keep you interesting. I just think Deshaun's the shelf life is longer. It's a lot more, I'm a lot more confident in that than I am what Lamar Jackson's doing. I'm surprised that Lamar Jackson's been able to do what he's able to do. I'm blown away with his athletic ability. I'm impressed with his development throwing the football, but I do believe that the success through the air is heavily dependent on the success on the ground. And if he gets hobbled or if some reason they find a way to slow him down running the rock, I think it changes the game drastically for Lamar Jackson. And I'm not ready to buy into that style of ball being bulletproof when it's so one-sided right now. I don't know. I would have put him above Vic until I watched that documentary on Vic the other day, and now I go, damn, them two. I mean, it's pretty close, man. Them cats, the athletic ability is absolutely ridiculous, and so he's gonna the hype is gonna be real now. But I just can't buy into it and tie myself to that long term.
Bottom line, as much as I should think they should feel disrespected, I think them as a team they should. As you said, they should be pissed. Like, they should look at this, in my opinion, and think, hey, we have to be included in that conversation. We have to be included in the conversation of, oh, we look at the schedule, it's not Ravens Chiefs. It needs to be the Texans and them as well. They should be, because you've got the quarterback that I think is the second best of those three, and you have a competitive team. I'm telling you right now, I put my hog on the line right now, man. Clint, I believe that the Texans are going to have a better record than the Ravens next year. I believe that. I feel like the Ravens feel like the Saints to me, a team that'll take a step back. I feel like people will understand that offense better. I see them as a 10-win team next year.
I don't think the Saints are going anywhere, but I could very quickly.
I mean, I was meaning the Saints from last year. The Saints were the number one seed 2 years ago, gotcha. And then last year they dropped down.
Yeah, I could see Baltimore. I could see Baltimore not having the success they had this year. Look, these coaches, man, in the NFL, they will stay up all hours of the night in March trying to figure out ways to slow them down. And just, I mean, just because they're working so hard, they're going to put wrinkles in that's going to slow them down and make their life a little bit more difficult in the NFL. And so, yeah, I would be highly surprised if they're able to duplicate some of those numbers and even get close. I mean, duplicating them is a long shot anyway because they were so great. But even get close, whether we're talking about run pass yardage, we're talking about win totals, I would be surprised if they get back to that.
Hey Clint, we got to get to this. Coming up on the other side, some breaking news, a huge trade in the AFC South that I think has a lot of implications on what the Texans could do in the offseason. That's coming up next. That's right, a little Stern and Show, Ron the Show, Hughley filling in today and the next couple of days. But Clint, baby, we got a little breaking news in the AFC South. And coming here, this according to Adam Schefter from ESPN, Broncos trade their 2020 fourth round pick for A.J. Boye of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He has two more years left on his contract. Clint, almost $28 million that the Broncos are taking on. A.J. Boye out of the division. But, Clint, I don't know what's the first thing that comes to your mind with this, but it comes to my mind is what I've heard you talk about late last week is how important the cornerback position is, and that is a place of need for the Houston Texans. And if A.J. Boye is going there for almost $28 million over the next 2 years, they cannot be bringing back Chris Harris. And that, to me, Chris Harris, the corner for the Denver Broncos, who we've seen reports him being potentially connected to the Texans, that could be a real, real possibility.
Yeah, it makes you feel good about what the Texans are gonna have at their possibly with Harris. Man, this is a tough one for me, man. When I look at it, I go, how come that breaking news? I thought you had me a little something about them Texans going out there and getting somebody.
They're not trading people in the division.
I thought that breaking when I hear that sound, I'm like, oh, hell yeah, them Texans, they got to be out there fishing. What we got?
You got to see the dominoes. That's a Chris Harris domino right there.
I'm with you. I like it. I'm a domino machine now. I appreciate it. A.J. Boye, you know A.J. Boye came from here, right? You know the Texans let him walk.
And he goes
to Jacksonville, and he is here's what I think is interesting, right? The Texans may have got dog cussed for letting A.J. Boye walk as much as maybe not as much as Clowney. Not quite as much as Clowney, but there was a lot of noise around A.J. walking. And he goes out to Jacksonville and he plays opposite Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, and the rest of those boys on that defense.
With an all-star roster on the defense. And things are good. If I remember correctly, when Ramsey left, Boye didn't perform as well. There is a large difference in this league between a number one receiver and a number two receiver. There is a large difference in this league between a number one DB cover guy and a number two cover guy. I think that AJ getting a good player, no doubt about it. But I think getting him out of here at that's $28 million left for 2 years. That's $14 million a year, isn't it?
Just about, almost.
I don't know that I'd be real excited about having $14 million a year wrapped up in A.J. Boye right now if I were the Texans.
I know
it's not where you're going with it. Denver had to make a move. So we get to a point where Denver makes the trade for a fourth rounder and is going to eat a bunch of that, obviously going to eat a bunch of that contract money, which leads me to the Chris Harris domino where
it's hard to see them paying two. Now, they are playing in the division with Patrick Mahomes, and maybe their mindset is thinking, we're going to load up on these corners. But I don't see that. I don't see them paying that much money because if he has $28 million almost over the next 2 years, well, Chris Harris at 29, he's asking for to be one of the highest paid in the game. And that just doesn't make sense. And Denver's a pretty good organization that I don't think they would have that type of money tied up in two corners.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I tell you what, You make a great point of them being in the division with Kansas City. If anybody's ever going to pay two corners and need to pay two corners, it would be a team that's in the same division with Kansas City. Golly, I sure would love to be having this conversation about Harris and Roby.
They could probably do that if they wanted to, but Harris, like, I think they should go hard at Chris Harris. I think he is the type of guy that they would need here. He's a better slot corner than he is on the outside, because when he was really good, like, you talk about the dual corners, when it was him and Tlaib and they could move him around, I'll tell you what Denver used to do is they used to put Chris Harris on Travis Kelce and try to shut Travis Kelce down that way and just let him play one-on-one. When he had him and Tlaib and he could be, you know, inside, outside, he was really, really good. But this is a guy that we talked about that brings also that intensity and that fire that we ain't going to just let a team, you know, score 51 straight points on us. Like, he's the type of guy that's a put your foot, I believe that's what you said last week, a put your foot down guy. He's that type of guy, and he would instantly be the best corner on this team and fill a need. And you'd have one of the top 10 corners in football. So I think it's a play that I think the Texans have the money to do it, the resources to do it. It's a play that they should go after.
Man, let me paint this picture for you. I saw a mock draft after Bill O'Brien and the Texans left the combine, so which changed things a little bit. And I can't remember the kid's name, the corner out of Clemson, something Terrell, Terrell something, or I can't remember his name. Anyway, a second round corner that's a 4-4 corner, not quite as big as Lonnie Johnson, but are you comfortable with the cornerback situation with the Houston Texans being Lonnie Johnson, a second round pick, that's a speed guy, not quite as big as Lonnie Johnson, but he's a speed guy. Bill O'Brien said that he wanted a corner that has man-to-man capabilities, which I don't know. Hell, I damn sure don't want a corner I don't want a corner that can't play man-to-man. But those two, last year's second round pick, this year's second round pick, a guy like Chris Harris and a guy like Gerrion Conley, are you comfortable with that being your core group of cover guys for the 2020 season?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with, yes, those three up top, Chris Harris. Chris Harris, Conley, and Lonnie, but you would then hope, because when you get Chris Harris, that's a problem. Don't mean you don't go and still address the need. It's still a need in the draft. And if you saw someone in the second round that you thought could be this 4-4 corner, this kid from Clemson you're talking about, you could still draft him. And then you would hope maybe that kid could play over Lonnie Johnson, and maybe you can use Lonnie Johnson in different ways. But yes, I would be comfortable with it. Chris Harris is, like, I think you will see, he played with Bradley Roby. I watched those guys in Denver play. It's not even close, the type of corner that Bradley Roby is compared to Chris Harris. So I think there's a
– I'm high on Roby. That's nice. That's good to know.
I'm just saying. I watched more of them in Denver together. Now, last year he was in Houston. Contract is almost undefeated. Contract year is almost undefeated. But Chris Harris, it was not close. He was that much better of a corner than Bradley Roby. So I would feel much better. Conley, another full year in the system, an offseason in the system, I would feel better about it. So I like that. I like that move. And I'm telling you, this is – I want you to hear me, Clint. This is a potential difference maker.
I like the fact that the breaking news is A.J. Boye gets traded from the Jacksonville Jaguars to the Denver Broncos for a 2020 fourth round pick. Jacksonville's loading up draft picks, obviously. But the silver lining there is that could mean that Denver is looking to prepare themselves to part ways with Chris Harris. And Chris Harris has been linked to the Texans, that would be a big-time get. Show, let's go to the phone lines real quick, and I got my man Larry in Stafford calling in. Larry, what's going on, baby?
Hey, what's going on, Clint? Show, how y'all doing, mate?
Breaking bread, baby. What you got?
Hey, Clint, let me get at Show for a minute, man. So I ain't had a chance to get at you yet, mate, but
I'm here.
I'm going to have to address a couple things. Clint, you brought in Show – and so don't eat crawfish. Then he talking about Big Lizzo, leg drop, and all this other stuff. Hey, man, let me tell you something, Show. That log that's carrying Lizzo, you don't want that dropping on you like that, dog. Hey,
yes,
man,
I do.
No, you don't, man.
You just, maybe, Larry, you just ain't as nasty as me. Maybe you just don't have that nasty in your heart. I think you can handle it, Larry. I think you're underselling yourself.
So it ain't no doubt about handling, man.
Come on now.
You got to be able to breathe, brother. And I'm all about making sure not cutting my oxygen off, man. So, you know, get you some of them crawfish and go get you one of them medium range things, man, that can do that thing. Look, Clint, I want to talk about them Texans real quick. Look. Y'all was talking about how Deshaun Watson is the number two out of Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Y'all all know what the issue with Deshaun is, and it's that boy over there named OB. And I said OB, and if he say Tim Kelly going to be our dude, we'll be able to see real quick if he's going to allow Tim Kelly to do the RPO stuff and allow Deshaun to get out of the pocket and move the pocket. So he can go ahead and be the elite quarterback that we know he is. Because we all in watching enough football to know that Deshaun Watson is an elite-level player just with a mediocre-ass head coach that has held him back for the last couple of years. So we know how that goes. And moving forward, I don't care about Bouye going. I'm glad that he's going over there to the AFC West. That way we can focus on our own defense. And if the Texans continue to allow themselves to believe that letting DJ Reader go to Tennessee or somewhere else is going to be a plus move. That is the same silly-ass move they did with A.J. Bouye, letting him go when he hit his prime. Look, I'm all about them boys on Kirby doing something special, man. I just need OB to try to figure out how to get all these things.
Go ahead, Larry.
Because right now, he is the one thing that has held this team back in the last 3 years from a Super Bowl. Clint, you know how I get down, man. And if you really want some crawfish, Show, come on out there to Stafford and
I'll holler. Go ahead, Larry.
Larry, we got our work cut out, man. We got our work cut out, baby. I'm going to teach my man about these bugs. I'm going to teach him about this two-step. And I got my work cut out, but I may need a little help, Larry. I may need a little help, but it's going to be okay.
Go ahead, Larry. Larry put a whole lot on the table there. There's a lot to chew off that bone. The only thing I'm thinking about is that, I'm not thinking about that. Right. Nope.
Leave it alone.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. Let me tighten up here. Yeah. Let me do a tease of some sort. It's funny, you were talking about a corner in the second round. Mm-hmm. Clint, I want to try to sell you on a player that I think the Texans could potentially get in the second round. You know how I feel about difference makers. I think this kid in the draft is the difference maker. We'll get into that next. All right, welcome back in, Lil. There you go again.
Go ahead. She hates the smoke. That's right,
there
baby.
You go. He got his slitty back in that good one. Look at it.
Come on right there.
And they pulled his sleeves up a little bit.
Hey, I got them gator belly boots on tonight. Talk to me.
Everybody, feel good about yourself. I like that, man. That's what I like to see. Happy Clint, man.
Yeah.
Happy Clint right there. Shout out to Larry and staff. Man, I like Larry, man. I had to hook up with Larry, man.
Fire.
Oh yeah?
Fire.
He said that's where the mud bugs is.
Come on, buddy.
He said that's where they are. All right. If you did miss it, AJ Bouye traded to from Jacksonville to the Denver Broncos, which could make
I know you got some selling to do on this draft thing here, but text line brings up a good point. I can't let the moment slide, man. And no, it's good stuff. Why would Denver swap A.J. Bouye for Chris Harris for the same type of money? Tells me the Broncos think Harris is declining at his age. I don't know if it's accurate, but I know I like the thought. Like I haven't seen enough of Harris to go, yeah, my man's declining. But the thought, 4879, great thought, great add to the show right there. What's your thoughts on that?
He's been pretty vocal about getting at Denver and getting paid. He's been pretty vocal of a longer-term deal, right? I don't know. He's looking for more than that, than just the $28 million over guaranteed – $28 million guaranteed over a two-year stretch. He's been trying to get paid as a top guy, and he's been very critical of the direction they're going. rebuild type deal. So he's been making noise trying to get out of there for at least 2 years now. So I think that's been part of it. He was very vocal when they went out and got it was long over Joe Flacco. I mean, it's been over with Joe Flacco. And when they went and brought him in to be the starter, he was very vocal about, I don't know about that, Chief.
Yeah.
Like he was very vocal about that. So he's been trying to get out.
But I do.
That's a fair point.
I feel the concern if you're a Houston Texans fan of Harris's age and what he's got left in the tank. I understand the thought. So just wanted to throw that out there to you real quick, show.
Yeah, it's a fair concern. But I want to sell you on this, Clint.
All right, come on, man. All your Kansas City listeners over here. They're over here trying to sell me hand sanitizer on the day. They got me going up across the room putting hand sanitizer on because apparently it protects against the virus. So I don't know what the hell you had going on out there, but I appreciate y'all listening on that radio.com app, baby. That's big time right there. I greatly appreciate it. Go ahead, show my bad. I didn't mean it's hard to sell when the buyer won't let you talk.
I tell you, man. Good God, man. I like how you feeling good though. Got your hair done and everything. You just woke Chuck the hell up.
Come on,
no,
Jamie.
So I think when you look at a lot of Super Bowl caliber teams, Clint, we've seen they always seem to have some player that they got, whether it be in the draft or free agency, or they picked up that was cut that becomes a bigger player than anybody thought would be. Seattle, Russell Wilson. Get him in the third round. Every team had a chance almost three different times to pick him up. Tyreek Hill for the Chiefs. Fifth round draft pick. They were paying that cat $500,000 last year. And he's, you know, that's a superstar player. You see it a lot. Guys that other players, teams could have gotten for whatever reason. Last year we saw it again with Seattle, DK Metcalf. Looks like a star player. This Denzel Mims kid, this kid out of Baylor, around here, I can hear John, the general, talking about him right now. He's something serious now. This was a cat that fits the profile of the under-the-radar potential star type of a player. He was at Baylor's been a pretty good program, but they've been a non-traditional power. This isn't Texas or Oklahoma or Alabama or LSU. A non-traditional power. He hasn't had great quarterback play. Hasn't had great quarterback play that really shows how good he can be. And he's out here running a 4.38 40. And he was productive, even though he didn't have great quarterback play. And he was the number one receiver at Baylor, who they swung coverage towards. And he still was able to make plays. I think this is a guy. I know corner is somewhere that looks to be a need. It is a need. I know outside linebacker and a pass rusher is a need. But I think receiver is a need, too, when you have, as John has said, a couple of guys that are in their final deal, Kenny Steele and Will Fuller in their final deal. I think this kid has a potential to be an impact player right away and for the years to come. And to get him in the second or third round, I love this kid.
I cannot disagree. 6'3", 215, Texas native. My man averaged almost 16 yards a catch over a 14-game span, 66 catches for 1,000 yards, 1,020 yards in 2019. I seen him in person. He's impressive.
I didn't know he was that fast. I did not know he had that type of speed.
Yeah, he can roll. He plays big, too.
He's a physical player. That's what I remember.
I tell you what, I know we got a lot of Baylor Bear grads out there that listen. And y'all are probably a little bit above me and Show's IQ, but we appreciate y'all listening anyway. But I want to get some text from them at 713-572-4610. Correct me if I'm wrong. Not only is he that, but he plays the 6'3", 210. He plays big. You know what I mean, Show? He plays the 6'3", 215. And I just think that in this league is the bigger receiver. And I know there's some outliers, the Tyreek Hills, the Mecole Hardemans, some of the different Edelman, some of those slot guys that are more of kind of like niche receivers where, man, when you get a guy like Mims, he can play either side. Mm-hmm. He can jump in the slot if need be. He can take the top off the coverage if need be. He can man-to-man coverage. he should have a physical presence, a physical advantage versus most corners. So, look, you ain't got to sell real hard to get me on Mims. I called a game. I called the, golly, who was it? Baylor and Vanderbilt bowl game last year. I guess it was in 2018. And that's, I think that's the first time I saw him play in person. And, man, it was impressive. He had six catches for 95 yards, averaged 16 yards a catch. He's a good one, man. You won't sell too hard for me.
No, and you know, as a quarterback who's played in the league and played whatever, like, when you have a player that's that big, like I said, he reminds me of DK Metcalf. What'd you say? He's 6'3", 215.
215, yeah.
The DK Metcalf, a little bigger, 6'4", 225. Like, a big size guy. And one of the things that reminds me of him when I see him is, you know, when you're a quarterback, they don't have to always be open to throw it to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? His body and his size and his catch radius is so big. Like, you can throw the back shoulder throws. You can throw the fades. You can throw balls where the corner's right there, but his size is so big that that you can't do in a way with, like you talked about, with like Tyreek Hill or T.Y. Hilton. That's another, like, there's just, this guy looks like a guy who's going to be in that draft that they're going to be like, damn. Teams are going to be like, damn.
Show, you know what I like too about him? Is if you think back, we're always talking about some of the stuff Deshaun did in college at a really high level. The back shoulder stuff that Hopkins does so well if he doesn't have a safety over the top and a corner banging his face. Mims at 6'3", 215 should be a receiver that has the ability to do that kind of thing. So again, just adding to the fact that of what this kid's capable of doing, he should be very comfortable doing some of the things out wide that Deshaun Watson is comfortable doing as far as throwing that back shoulder and throwing some of those big boy routes. He's got a lot of confidence in throwing those routes, and that's not something you coach. You know, I was never very comfortable throwing a back shoulder. I wanted to throw my fades over the top. I don't know if it was because I couldn't read or if because I felt better about my receiver getting over the top or what. I had a guy that could really – was a burner that could really go but I just always felt better throwing it over the top. Deshaun Watson, obviously, and a lot of quarterbacks in 2020 football, they're very comfortable throwing the back shoulder. And so Mims would be a good fit as well, not just a great player, as you mentioned.
I had a thought here, and we saw DJ Metcalf really integrate himself right away. Is that difficult for receivers? Like, if this kid came in and say let's just say, hypothetically, the Texans drafted him, and he came in into this system with Hopkins, you know, with Deshaun, how quickly could you see him being productive?
Well, I think that you hit a great point. Here's the thing. I think that the Texans are fools if they waste a early pick, right, on a receiver that they have. Obviously, if they do that, then they have intentions of that guy playing and getting some clock in 2020. If they're not fully convinced that that guy mentally can handle the pro game, and look, I say that, and people don't understand how many receivers in the game of football struggle mightily with changing formations and motions and shifts, and it's very extensive in the league, and it's hard for some guys to pick up. And if the Texans draft a guy in a position in this year's draft where they plan on that guy coming in and helping them immediately, and it ends up being a guy that can't mentally handle the playbook, then that's on the Texans. I mean, the Texans have to make sure. Show, to your point, is I would expect the guy that they draft at the receiver position to help immediately with this offense.
Yeah, you're right. Like, option routes where receivers have to make decisions in route. That didn't have to do in college.
Show, that's next level. I mean, that's even beyond. That's more of a read, and that's more of a recognition type deal. I'm talking about if I go flip to zoom, trips right, that's got to be second nature. You can't go, okay, well, where do I start on flip? Okay, well, then I'm going to flip. Okay, now zoom in. Am I zooming two trips or am I zooming out of trips? Like, what am I? Okay, now when I zoom out of it, is my landmark the top of the numbers, or is it 2 yards outside the tackle, or is it, do they want me on this particular route to be stacked right behind DeAndre Hopkins in the trips formation? You know, where do they want – do I split the difference between the two receivers? There's just a lot of – it's not just, hey, he's going to motion over there. He's got to know precisely where to be when the ball is snapped, and that changes on every concept that a coach could call out of that particular formation. So there's a lot of – there are – I'm going to tell you, man, I would say it's 50%. And I don't know that that's not on the low end. That there's 50% of receivers that that don't pick up offenses quickly. I'm not going to say that they don't ever pick them up, but to get a guy in here and in one training camp, he knows the offense like the back of his hand to go out there and line up and motion and flip and flop and shift and move and all that. Before we ever run down, before we ever break the line of scrimmage, before we ever bust the starting blocks, there's guys that struggle for years to comprehend where to be, how to be, and how to – all that stuff is very difficult. But my point is, show is if the Texans get in a position to where the receiver they draft can't do what you're talking about, which is contribute early, then that's on them, man. The due diligence that you can do on a prospect, it's very easy to ask a coach, you know, his ability to listen, retain, and apply. Is it at an elite level? And if it's not, then you can't draft him that early.
See, I would think that a lot of people would rank, Clint, the needs for the Texans would be – you know, corner defensive or corner pass rusher tied 1-2, however, whichever way your preference is, and then maybe receiver of those three positions. Your experience in the league, which ones are most difficult to adapt to? Like, which guys at which position would struggle or would pick it up faster?
I would go rush end, edge rusher. Receiver, corner. An edge rusher, you put your hand in the dirt, go get see ball, chase ball. And he's going to make some mistakes, yeah, but if they're not running right at him or if they're not bouncing it outside and he's a contained guy, then you get away with making some young mistakes. Receiver, a good offensive coordinator can go, okay, we just want you to play Z, and Z's not going to move much in our offense, so we can get you some kind of production. And then corner, you know, that's just a monster. That to me, that's just one of those that nobody – I don't give a damn who you are. Nobody in this league, in college football, knows what they're going to be up against when they take the field on Sundays, Chief. When they line up opposite Hopkins and they line up T.Y. Hilton and he's got that shake to get off the ball and then it's by you, nobody knows what they're up against. That is an absolute – I don't give a damn if you're a first overall. The kid at Ohio State's a great player. He's going to be wet behind the ears, and he's going to be targeted in the NFL more than likely.
Is that more scheme, like learning scheme, all the responsibility you have to have, or is it just you're thinking the matchups you have to go up against week in and week out with receivers?
Well, just it's just another level of football. I think it's both, to answer your question. Both, I think schematically they're going to be attacked in ways that they've never been attacked, right? And if they've got, they're going to be studied in a way that they've never been studied. If they've got a weakness, that weakness is going to be attacked. If double moves is a problem for them, they're going to be double moved until they figure it out. If jumping routes is a problem, they're going to be double moved over and over again until they break that habit. And there's just so many things at corner. And then you talk about just the physical aspect of it. I love college receivers, but there's not one college receiver that kid out of Ohio State has lined up across the ball from that can do what Hopkins can do, right? There's not one guy that he's lined up against in college football that can do what the top 20 receivers in this league can do. When you talk about getting off the ball, when you talk about the, you know, flipping, creating separation, when you talk about running by a guy, when you talk about high pointing the ball, at Ohio State, he ain't faced a quarterback one. He ain't faced a quarterback one that's going to be able to thread the needle, and the ball's going to be on top of that receiver quicker than anything he's ever seen. And he's going to see it week in, week out. I'm not saying guys can't do it. I hope that kid at Ohio State's the next Deion Sanders and proves me wrong. But damn it, that's a stretch to think that a corner's going to come in here and help you that much immediately.
And that's a first round corner, not a second round corner, which potentially would be the Texans draft pick. And that's why, to me, man, I understand the needs. But, dude, man, when there's a potential, and I feel strongly about this kid, especially going to Deshaun Watson and D-Hop, like, I think there's potential big-time star ability with this kid. Like, what you thought Fuller could be. That's why I'm trying to sell. I hope that's a serious thought for the Texans.
Well, I tell you, the serious thought, show, is that the Texans are going to be stuck between a rock and a hard place in this draft. I'm telling you. You mark my word, man. The second round's going to come around, and there's going to be players at other positions that are first-round talent that are going to drop into that the Texans' reach. And it's going to be one of those. It's not an edge rusher. It's not going to be a corner. It may or may not be a receiver. And they're going to have to make a big-time decision of – we always hear teams talk about need versus best player available. They're going to make a big, big-time decision. And it could be one that they may get a really good player, but if there's still a void at that rush in and there's still a void at that number two corner or the number one corner if they don't get somebody signed, man, it's going to be tough. It's going to be it's going to be cussed and discussed now. It's going to be – ooh, it's going to be ugly.
All right, coming up next, I know many of you – didn't love how the Jadeveon Clowney thing went down last year. But I'm here to tell you, there have been talks about Clowney going to AFC South teams. In no way should any Texans fans fear that. We'll get into that next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.